Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pleasure to be joined by Danny LaRue.
He would tell you.
Why are you dropping the ball?
Because I'm not Danny.
You
only
pronounce
Danny
it
can
properly.
Let
a, well, he's got an X in his name. You know I get hesitant
we'll
on that.
Ask him.
All right, Danny LaRue, sports writer, podcast host for Real GM, lead writer for Warriors World. Follow him on Twitter at Danny LaRue. That's LeRoux. Danny, did I say your name right?
LaRue, perfect.
Thank you. Danny, what did you make from that game last night? I kind of called it a big win, and my partner scoffed at that notion because the Kings are under 500, even though they're, you know, would be in the playoffs if the season ended today. But it always seems like the Kings play them better than, honestly, most teams. Did you take something out of that game last night? Steph going on, Seth, and all that good jazz, Klay Thompson performing well, Draymond Green. Did you take something out of that win last night, or is it just kind of ho-hum at this point for the Dubs?
Certainly. I think it was the first game that Curry's played really well. I kind of had one of those games since the injury happened. It was the first game that really stood out top to bottom. You know, he had that stretch, incidentally, against Sacramento the last time they played. But this was the first real top-to-bottom game where I thought he played well. And this team has struggled shooting at Arco for the last couple times they've been there for whatever reason. You know, that can't happen in an arena. And for me, there's something important when you're going for the regular season things that this team is going for, that you need to win games when you're not playing your best. And there were moments in that game where they certainly were not, particularly the first quarter. And so when you can do that and still beat a team that is fighting for a playoff spot, that's always a good sign of progress.
Danny, we all know and are witness to what Steph Curry is doing and how big of an icon he's becoming in the league. And we had a couple callers come in, and Zach and I debated about do you think, in your estimation, that Steph Curry gets the superstar respect from the refs in regard to the whistle?
I think it's more variable than it is for some of the other high-end guys. Like, think about LeBron James usually gets the whistle. Kobe, when he was in his prime, got him a lot. Steph gets them less frequently, but he is getting calls more. I think that they're noticing it, but it is true that it seems like there are times when he gets a lot of contact and it doesn't get called. But there have been, I'm actually thinking from what I've seen the last couple weeks, that the refs are actually letting a little bit more go league-wide. Like, there was that play where Jeremy Lin got his nose busted up and they didn't call foul. So, you know, that can happen, but in terms of superstars, yeah, I'd say they officiate him a little bit differently.
Danny LaRue joins us, sports writer, podcast host for Real GM, also lead writer on Warriors World, Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zachariah, here on 95.7 The Game. Danny, when you look at the Harrison Barnes situation, obviously when he went from starting every game as a rookie to going on the bench after Iguodala was acquired, then going back into starting, they win the championship. Now he's back in there, but he's got the ankle injury, the high ankle sprain. And they've kind of got a debate on whether or not you should be starting Brandon Rush or Harrison Barnes. He's in a contract year, which makes it even more confusing. Where are you on the whole Harrison Barnes situation?
Well, I think Barnes is a better overall player. And what you look at with Rush, and he's doing great, and it's a positive story. But when you watch the Warriors, what you notice is that the other guy, if you want to call it that, whoever's playing next to Draymond, Curry, and Klay Thompson is going to get a lot of clean looks. And Brandon Rush is very good at hitting those. But Barnes is too, and Barnes is a better overall defender. And, I mean, you have to make it an ecosystem. And the reason why Rush with the starters is intriguing is that his value is really kind of supersized in those lineups, because that gives him only what he's best at. And that's actually really nice to have. That's, I think Ian Clark would similarly be good in that role. But Harrison is the best player. He needs to be getting starters minutes. I don't care as much whether that means that he starts the game, but realistically, it's hard to get 30 minutes a game once he's healthy if you're not starting games. Just most guys just can't pull that off.
Danny, my co-host, also lets me know I let the little things get to me. And I want to talk about the NBA schedule. I'm really bothered that we're in January and a team in the Warriors division, as in the Kings, played their last game against the Warriors last night, but yet we're not even at the All-Star break, and the Warriors have yet to play the Thunder and the Spurs. I've never seen anything like this. Are you at all puzzled as to what the schedule makers did or were doing or were thinking that we have to wait to see these teams clash and not see the before and after?
Yeah, I don't love it either. And the one that bothers me more than that, as much as those do, and I think this is the case with the Thunder, is when you don't play anybody the whole year and then you play them twice in a week or two. Because then you're not really separating, you're not getting to see, like, as you said, the before and after. That happens a couple times, and it's especially weird when teams in the same division don't really have it spread out, because then you don't have the issue of, oh, well, they're traveling all over and it's their only chance to be there, or something like that. You know, the Kings are always around, the Warriors, you know, that's not a big issue. So I know that it's very hard to do. I'm sure of that with all the obligations for 30 arenas or however many, because there are a couple shared. But I understand that. But at the same time, you also get into those weird issues where there are long gaps and things like that, or a team plays 3 and 4 nights and then has 3 days off. So I'm sure it's very hard, but when you get into the down and dirty of it, when you're seeing it day to day, it can get really frustrating.
Danny, help me out here. I'm going to defer to your probably a lot more expansive Warriors knowledge in terms of what's going on with the cap, which will expand. Harrison Barnes not signing what everybody thought was a pretty fair deal because he knows the cap is going to go up. And then you have Andrew Bogut and Festus Ezeli. Andrew Bogut's making good money. Festus Ezeli should be making good money. And then you have Andre Iguodala, and you have Harrison Barnes kind of maybe able to slide into that role. Is it possible with the cap expanding for them to keep all of them, or are they going to have to choose?
They are not going to have to choose unless they want to. The beauty of the way that it worked out for the Warriors is that the cap is expanding a lot, as you've heard. And what that means is that you, like certain guys, Harrison Barnes included, Festus Ezeli included, are going to make a lot more money. But also, the Warriors have what are called match rights. So they're restricted free agents. So if the Warriors, if they want to, they can match whatever offer they go, or they can just say, hey, we're going to match, so why don't you just agree to a deal with us? So if the Warriors want either of those guys back, they can do it. The other players are all under contract, so they can keep them if they want. I haven't run numbers yet because we don't know exactly where the max is going to be on, you know, where that gets them in terms of the luxury tax. I think they'd probably be okay. And that also opens up the crazy possibility, which I actually wrote about for the Sporting News a while ago, which is the idea that if they really wanted to get into the Kevin Durant sweepstakes, they could do that too. That's how crazy the summer is, that they could go a lot of different directions, and they don't have to make that choice right away. They can wait to see what happens and then work from there.
Whoa, 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 Danny. They can keep everybody and add Kevin Durant?
Not everybody. They would have to, basically what they would have to do is choose one of Barnes, Iguodala, and Bogut, but they could keep just about everybody else. They could keep Ezeli, they could keep Clay, Draymond, Curry, Looney, a lot of the other guys. And that's if the cap doesn't increase more than expected. If it does, it gives them even a little bit more wiggle room.
Danny, let's talk about Steve Kerr. I want to give Luke Walton a boatload of credit, and at the same time, I don't want to sound like I'm taking any away from him. But when Steve Kerr comes back, the Warriors are professional. They have a cohesiveness going on. Do you expect any difference if Kerr is to come back from the Golden State Warriors players to where the naked eye could see a difference? Because when I watch him, I'm almost like, you know, and this is no slight to Steve Kerr, I don't see any difference or see any style of play that they would do differently when Kerr comes back, if I'm making any sense.
I don't think it'll be substantially different. I think the biggest thing you'll see is the rotations might change a little bit just because their sensibilities are different. Like you've seen, Luke Walton has been a little bit more hesitant to play small when the other team has bigs out there. He talked about that with Brook Lopez in the Nets game. He's talked about it at certain points. I think Kerr is more open to that. But in terms of the way they play and everything like that, not really. I mean, Kerr is around. It's his staff. So the accountability is there. This isn't a situation where it's, you know, like kids with a substitute teacher. They're all already there. So I don't think you'll see too much. But, you know, the practices and all that will probably be a little bit different. But you're right. I mean, it is the same staff. There's a reason why interim coaches usually don't get credit for the wins, and that's because it's still Steve Kerr's team.
Danny LaRue joins us, sports writer, podcast host for Real GM, lead writer for Warriors World. Follow him on Twitter at Danny LaRue, LeRoux. Daryl the Guru Johnson, Zachariah here on 95.7 The Game. Danny, when you take a look at what the team is doing, obviously, I mean, historic pace, the best record through this many games ever. I mean, nobody's been better than this team. The Spurs, though, are only 3.5 games behind. When you take a look at what they need to do in terms of wanting to go back-to-back, which is obviously the priority over getting the best regular season record, if it came down to it down the stretch in terms of having to choose between resting your players and beating the Bulls' regular season record, what do you think they'd do?
I think unless it were like down to the last game or something like that, I think they would choose getting in 100%, being full strength. And the big difference there is also the idea of that they, if they're doing that, they'll presumably be far enough ahead of the Spurs that they're not worried about seeding. If for whatever reason those line up, like let's say for whatever reason they end up both being close, then you're pushing for both things, because this is a team that, while they never went to a Game 7 in the playoffs last year, I'm certain that they would like to have that in their back pocket, that, you know, that if there was a Game 7, it would be at Oracle with those fans. So if those lined up, I think you'd see them push a little bit harder for it. But I think it's really the way that they've done just about everything, which is, you know, we're going to play our game, and if the history comes, then we'll evaluate it when we get close. So I would say, you know, maybe two or three games out, then maybe you start to make those decisions. But what makes this team really special is that they're winning all these games, and they're doing a pretty good job of resting their players. So it's not like they really have to do this, you know, oh, we're going to play them 40 minutes a night or something like that. I don't think they do that, because this is a team that can beat teams when they're playing Curry and Clay and all those guys 35 or less a night.
I was a bit critical of the Warriors, the organization as a whole, in regard to letting Steph Curry play. And, you know, some reports had it to where he wasn't going to sit out. But now, you know, come to find out, it sounds like the injury can't get worse. Technically wise, you know, it can just hurt a pain tolerance. Were you at all shocked at how they're handling this situation and how he's out there still playing?
Well, it made a lot more sense once they were a little bit more open about really what the injury was. And, you know, if it's something where it really hurts more if he bangs it, then, yeah, that makes sense that if it's going to heal and it's not really going to impede that. The one thing that's concerning to me with him, and I'd say this is a little bit broader, is that they need to have a little bit more faith in the backups, that once the game is out of hand, to just shut those guys down a little bit, especially Curry right now. Like, I always think about injuries as kind of being two things. There's cumulative fatigue, and then there's just the randomness of being on the court. I mean, you can think about it, even if the situation is perfect, you can have a freak injury, whether that be like what happened to Paul George or with Curry and when he ran into Roy Hibbert's leg. You know, that's the kind of thing that can happen. So I think they should be a little bit more judicious about that, just because if they're beating the Lakers by 20, none of those guys need to be in, because they're going to win that game. And, you know, maybe if they cut it to 5 with 2 minutes to go, you can slide them back in just to close out the game. But beyond that, I think they're doing a good job, and that's a minor quibble. But the hard thing as a writer and as somebody who's around this team is that there's always information that we don't know, and you have to trust, especially when this team has done as good a job as they have managing things, that they know what they're doing. But that's also hard to take, because your instinct is always you want to know everything.
If you're a Warriors fan, are you worried about the Spurs or not? Because I get a lot of flack for this. They didn't play them last year on their road to the finals. Obviously, a lot of teams stupidly pointed that out, talked about how healthy they were and that other teams weren't. But if you're a Warriors fan, are you worried about the Spurs? I mean, the Spurs have the only record better than the Warriors at home. I've heard reports that Popovich is hellbent on spending all practices focusing on the Warriors. Are you worried about the Spurs if you're a Warriors fan?
They stand the best chance of preventing the Warriors from winning another championship. So in that way, yeah. I mean, you always have to deal with who's in front of you. And, yeah, it was a little different that the Warriors won the title without going through them, but that's not their fault. That's just the way that things worked out. And if the Spurs had taken care of their business and beaten the Pelicans on the last game of the regular season, that probably wouldn't happen. So you do have to think about that, though, because they are a team that defensively has the personnel to make life hard on the Warriors. And, you know, the Warriors have the ability to do that for the Spurs. But if I were to pick a single team to say, okay, this is the biggest threat to the Warriors winning another championship, unquestionably would be the Spurs. So if that means people should be scared, then maybe. But I think that you just walk into it thinking we're the best team and we should expect to win. And if they lose to a better team, or they lose to a team that's playing better on a given night, that's just what happens.
Danny LaRue, sports writer, podcast host for Real GM, lead writer for WarriorsWorld.com. Follow him on Twitter at Danny LaRue, LeRoux. Danny, thank you for your time. Great stuff.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
There you go. Danny LaRue.
Do you know?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.